Coming up on Golf Today, PGA Show Demo Day kicked off this morning in Florida. We'll take you there for all the golf clubs and the gizmos and the gear to set you up for your best season yet. We also hit San Diego to catch up with Jason Day. He has two wins at Torrey Pines, is a third victory, and another surfboard in the cards this week. Well, Jack knows victory, and he also knows birthdays. Today, the Golden Bear celebrates 85 and shares his thoughts on the game. Put the candles on the cake. It's Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Such an important week for the golf industry as PGA Show Demo Day underway at Orange County National Golf Center in Winter Garden, Florida. And speaking of winter, it's a little breezy, a little cloudy, but that's okay. Still a perfect way to start one of the great weeks in the game as we share the latest in equipment and technology. This is Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Rex Hoggard. You live in Orlando. You've been to PGA shows, as have I, a buddy of mine, a PGA professional, making the drive up from Naples to Orlando. It's a big day and a big week.
It really is. And to be fair, I live about 20 minutes from that golf course. And I can tell you, we have 360 roughly good days in Central Florida. So you're not exactly getting a good taste of this right now. But I remember when they first launched Demo Day and going out there and being a golf nerd like I am, it was like Christmas in January. Because you pointed out, everybody is around there that matters in the game of golf, at least the industry of golf. And I will point out, this is a salute to the industry of golf. We talk all the time about PGA Tour golf, but that's really not golf. What we see this week and the PGA of America professionals, they are celebrated this week.
It's a day for golf nerds and a week for golf nerds as well. PGA Show Demo Day, the world's largest professional outdoor demo day, featuring more than 70 golf manufacturers testing their latest innovations, takes place on the range, practice greens, short game areas, open only to golf industry professionals. So that's why it's so important for you to kind of check in with us to see everything new under the sun or under the clouds today for 2025. Let's take a closer look at some of the manufacturers on site. That gorgeous 360-degree driving range, the Bridgestone Golf and Titleist, U.S. Kids, Cobra Golf. Look at tee number four. Let's head out to Orange County National Golf Center. That's our own set where you find Matt Adams and Bailey Chambly. It is great to see you both. I know it's cloudy. It's still a happy, happy day.
Yeah, it is a happy day, guys. Thank you very much for welcoming the world down here to Demo Day, part of the 72nd PGA Show. The PGA Show week is underway. Yes, as you've noted, it's a little cool. It's raining a little bit now, but it's due to clear up as the day progresses. And the crowds, I think, actually are looking pretty good given all the weather.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Matt, golfers, we're hardy people. This is our arena. We play out here outdoors, so we're used to this. You think a little wind and rain stopped Shane Lowry from shooting a 63 at the 2019 Open at Royal Portrush? No, it did not. Did Tom Watson complain in 1979 when it was a 13-degree wind
Preach.
Chill? And shot a 69? No, he did not. So, yes, it's a little cold. It's a little wet. It's a little windy. But we're here. We're all here. The industry came out strong today to have a great demo day.
The Irish like to say there's no bad weather. There's just bad clothing choices. And I know you're going to take a look at some of that for us this week. So, gents, the table's set. We're ready to go.
Matt, you and I both know in Central Florida that's bad weather, but I'm proud of both of you for out there suffering through this. And I do want to ask, Matt, you've done this a couple of times now. What's your favorite part of Demo Day?
To me, Rex, it's the enthusiasm. It's the excitement. I always like to say, Bailey, that the commerce that gets exchanged between, you know, it's 1.1 million square feet when we go into the Orange County Convention Center tomorrow. And there's thousands of people that are there with hopes and dreams. And that is what they're buying and selling. This idea that golf as a passion, they want to make even more a part of their lives. That's the part that I like the most. The enthusiasm. I don't, just the positivity of it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're so fortunate that golf is an industry that we play golf and we love it. And everyone in the game is we're all family, right? And we all want to grow the game. And I'm looking forward later today. I'm actually interviewing U.S. Kids Golf. And, you know, I get asked that question all the time. I'm sure you do as well, about growing the game and how to get kids into the game and more interested.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot of great things for kids, the youth in golf. And I'm looking forward to that interview and just it is a family out here, and we say it every year, but it's
That's so true. That's whole industry is at. But the junior side of the game has grown the fastest of any other segment. And one of the things that's really exciting for the future of the game is 41% of junior golfers are now female. Going back to the year 2000, that same category was 15%. So you can see where the growth is, and there's growth across the board of the industry. In the coming hours and the coming days, we're going to have plenty of time to talk to you guys about some of these nuances and numbers, because they do define everything that surrounds us. But we're also going to show you some really cool gear as it continues as well, including today. We're looking forward.
Those are some great numbers, lots to be optimistic about. Thank you so much, guys. We'll be checking in with you all afternoon. And speaking of numbers, let's take a look at the weather. Definitely part of the story today in Central Florida. 53 degrees currently, as Matt Bailey showed you, a little light rain, but that rain's gonna turn into showers, and that percent chance of rain will drop as the afternoon wears on in Winter Garden, Florida.
Burr, no thank you. I will say that right now. Just Burr, no thank you. Well, Damon, from Orlando to San Diego, we've got the game covered. Picturesque Torrey Pines makes its annual return to the PGA Tour as players navigate the North and South courses in the Farmers Insurance Open. Starting tomorrow on Golf Channel.
Got some notables in the field, including Matthew Pavon, Rex.
Last year, Frenchman Matthew Pavon won the Farmers Insurance Open in just his third start as a tour member. He birdied the 72nd hole to win by one stroke over Nicolai Højgaard and became the first player from France to win on the PGA Tour since World War II. Prior to the PGA Tour, he earned one victory in seven seasons on the DP World Tour. He joins us later in the show.
Can't wait to talk to him. It was one of the most emotional interviews of the season. He's among the notables in the field this week. Ludvig Åberg, Keegan Bradley. Keegan got a lot on his plate. Jason Day going to join us a little bit later as well. You see some of the guys who had to withdraw. Shoffley, Morikawa, Bakia, Mackenzie Hughes as well. With more from Torrey Pines and one of the headliners in the field, let's welcome in Kira K. Dixon. Kira, it's great to see you.
Great to see you as well, Damon. Now, you mentioned that Matthew Pavon, the Frenchman, won last year. Could we have another international winner here at the Farmers Insurance Open in Ludvig Åberg, the Swede? And, you know, he's had a great start to his season so far. Top five at the Century last year in his first time playing at the Farmers Insurance Open. He finished top 10. Here's what he told me about why he likes this place.
I remember I really like San Diego. I really like the area. It's so beautiful, kind of looking out at the ocean brings me a little bit of peace, I feel like. So I always had Torrey Pines circled on my calendar as one of the tournaments I want to come back to.
So this season, the narrative for you is not necessarily, oh, you're playing for the first time. How is he going to do for the first time? You're coming into it now as a seasoned professional. So what's the confidence difference like?
Yeah, it is different. I mean, just kind of knowing your way around a little bit, knowing where to park, knowing where to eat and all these things, it makes it a lot easier and takes away a lot of stress Monday through Wednesday or in this case, Sunday through Tuesday, where you don't need to prepare as much. You don't need to spend that much time on the golf course. It's more of getting you more accustomed and then kind of knowing where the pins are going to be at. So I'm really looking forward to that this year. I think it's going to be a big difference, and hopefully I can use it to my advantage.
And you've had a nice season to the start to the season so far, great finish at Century. What are you working on? What's new?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was nice to be back playing again. I'm looking forward to this next coming stretch, play a lot of tournaments and kind of get back to knowing, you know, when you're playing instead of having one tournament 2 weeks off, one tournament 3 weeks off, one tournament. So it'll be nice to kind of get into a flow of playing a lot. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And yeah, just keep playing. Keep having fun and make sure that I do things the right way and see where that ends up.
Yeah, and speaking of doing things the right way, I want to check in on your knee. You had left knee surgery last September. You went through the whole rehab process, said you got back to 100%. Now in the maintenance stage, making sure you never re-injure yourself. What does that look like? What's the routine around it?
Yeah, it's getting stronger. I'd like to get a little bit stronger. I think we're working on that quite a bit, but it was nice to have that little bit of time off. It was nice to get it done, and it was, I had about 4 weeks off in general or in total. And first couple of weeks, I thought it was quite nice. So, it's nice to be back now. And all I want to do is, you know, obviously stay healthy and be able to play as much and practice as much as I can.
We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
And guys, I mentioned that knee injury that Ludwig had. That was a torn meniscus in his left knee, but he told me since then he's been going from strength to strength. And for this week, he is really looking forward to getting his competition started. Just a reminder that the Farmers Insurance Open has a moved up schedule this week. PGA Tour is going to be in action tomorrow. That is Wednesday with a Saturday finish. But Ludwig's got a fun day on tap. He's playing in his pro-am. He's got Kyle Juszczyk from the 49ers, some Barstool, some YouTubers. So it should be a fun day for him.
And no doubt, Kira K with the world number six. And guys, the world number six is number one when it comes to the odds this week. Take a look at this for the young Swede. He's the favorite, plus 900, ahead of the likes of Hideki and Sungjae, Keegan Bradley. Will Zalatoris was a runner-up finisher at the Farmers a few years ago. There's Jason Day, a two-time winner at Torrey Pines. Ludwig, the best odds via DraftKings. And before his fun day, Ludwig getting some work in on the driving range. Now listen, he's a winner on the PGA Tour. Ryder Cupper, as you know, Rex contended in the Masters, but the absence of Scotty and Xander in Colin Morikawa says as much about those odds as anything, does it not?
I think so, and I'm not very good at gambling just because I don't like to lose. Let's be honest. So I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what went into these odds. It seems maybe the odds makers were paying a lot of attention to the TGL match, which he clearly dominated just last week. So maybe that's where they're getting this from. But to the point about his knee, and I remember talking with him at the RSM Classic when he came back from that surgery, it really drug him down at the end of last year. I think we dismissed it, or maybe he just downplayed how much it actually impacted not just his game, but the way he prepared, the way he practiced, everything that went into it. He was very regimented that first year. That's what was so impressive about him. And he didn't have that ability after having the knee surgery. Now that he's healthy, you see him there on the range. He has the explosiveness. All the things that made him that great Ryder Cup player and a winner on the PGA Tour so early is back.
Yeah, seventh in strokes gained total last year. In a short sample this year, he's 10th in strokes gained total. But make no mistake, the absence of those players to start this season has changed the tone and temperature when you consider Scotty Scheffler won 9 times around the world last year, and we haven't seen him so far in 2025.
Damon, I probably spent too much time in the trailers at tour events, to be honest with you, because I spent a lot of time really last week at the American Express talking with some trainers about this, not just what's going on with Scotty or Xander or now Colin Morikawa. And they really point out two things, and I think this is important when you have these injury conversations. A trainer will tell you there's two kinds. There's chronic and there's traumatic. And they'd much rather deal with a traumatic injury. And in this case, that would be Scotty Scheffler. He cut his hand. Apparently, he was cutting some homemade pasta, and it took some surgery, took a lot of stitches to take care of. That's not great if you're Scotty Scheffler and it's your right hand and you depend on your hands so much. However, you can recover from that. There is a period. You get the stitches out, you start training, you get back to hitting golf balls. There is a window that you know you can go through, and everything should be fine. The other side of it is if it's a chronic injury, if it's a neck injury or a back injury, or in the case of Xander, some sort of rib injury that we know about now. I'm not reading into this. It could have been something that he just slept on the couch the wrong way or took a flight from the West Coast, whatever the case may be. But I think what all this adds up to, and again, talking with trainers on tour, how much golf these top players played at the end of last year.
Yeah.
You look at going into the Tour Championship. I mean, they had some weeks really starting at the Open Championship, the Scottish Open even before that, because you had so many big events, you really couldn't take a week off. So now you're in a situation where you have to recover. I think a lot of them have realized that maybe I need to pace myself early in the year.
Yeah, and for Oberg, it was a knee injury last year, that meniscus surgery, and watching him warm up ahead of his pro-am today. Do you think, I mean, usually we hear the whining at the end of the year, you know, I'm worn out, but it seems like guys are having to pace themselves already to, you know, ahead of the players and the Masters. You don't want to, you know, throw your game out, I guess, in January or February when you got these big-time tournaments ahead. But this is a big tournament this week, and San Diego, Torrey Pines has always been an important stop on the PGA Tour.
And you know this as well as I do. I think what players learned last year, and again, last year was very much a new reality.
Right.
You had signature events. You had sort of a set schedule that you had to play. Coming out of that, I think a lot of players realized that maybe I don't want to, and I'm not picking on Pebble Beach here, but maybe that's just not for me. Maybe I take that event off, even though it's a signature event, because you want to play the best golf you know how to play, and you know what that schedule means. For some players, Torrey Pines, you and I love to be there. There's nothing better than Del Mar.
Spot.
But for some players, maybe they just want to put a pin in it until you get to the Florida swing. And I think you'll start to see that more and more.
Yeah, Ludwig Åberg warming up for his pro-am today. Finished sixth at the Hero World Challenge. You might recall at the end of last year. Also finished tied for fifth at the Century to start this year. And as he told Kira K. Dixon, feeling healthy to start 2025. Stay with us, folks. Just getting started on this Tuesday. Heading back out to Orange County National with more on the latest innovations in the game. This is PGA Show Demo Day on Golf Today.
Welcome back to Golf Today. PGA Show Demo Day is underway at Orange County National Golf Center in Winter Garden, Florida. Look at these aerial shots taken earlier today of the range, 360 degrees. It is a beautiful piece of property. Damon, you love hitting balls as much as the next guy. That's where you should do it. Let's get things going and send it back out for our Matt Adams for more.
Gents, thank you very much. Golf is often called the links. Well, bringing those links together and using technology to do the same so that you have a better picture of how your game can and will and does perform, that's what we're talking about right now. Tim Teel is brand marketing for Foresight Sports. Tim, good to see you.
Good to see you.
What are we doing with all of these different pieces?
Yeah, so what we announced is something called link-enabled technology. And basically what you're able to do is take the precision of our off-course data with our launch monitor, and it also syncs with the Bushnell brand, and we're using the Bushnell Pro X3 Link device. And what it does is, you at home, you're going to do a My Bag assessment. You're going to hit up to 15 shots with each club in your bag, 13 clubs, and then that gets synced into the Foresight app. Mm-hmm. Gives you a whole data profile of all your shots, your dispersion patterns, your yardage gaps, all of that information, which then syncs with the Bushnell Golf app. So when that happens, that links with this device, and it's going to give you on-course data that you've never had before. So for example, you know, you shoot the flag, you get your normal distance. Well, now you're going to get two club recommendations based off of your shot data, your personalized shot data. So it's unique to you. And it also factors in the weather with the elements in here. Oh. So right now it's obviously cold. The ball is flying about 7 yards less with your 7-iron than it normally would. So on the fly, that's going to tell you within the device right then and there. And there's also, you know, normally you'd have the slope characteristics, the slope algorithm. Now it's using the new play as distance that's specific to your launch conditions.
Wow.
So I'm like a normal low ball flight guy.
Yep.
And if I'm shooting uphill, the ball's not going to fly as far as someone that hits it higher in the air. So it's using my personal shot data from our device to give us that data and give you the most accurate club management that you could have on tour.
It's unbelievable. What about somebody that travels? Say you're playing out west in the summertime, you're in Colorado, then you come down to sea level someplace else. What kind of different data is it giving you?
Yeah, right then and there, when you open the Bushnell app, you've already had the data stored. That really doesn't change unless you made some big progressions with your swing. But the app's going to update automatically from the conditions you're in. So you show up at the range that morning, you're on the app, it's going to show you exactly what your carry distances are right then and there. And then later in the day, that'll adjust based off the temperature if it does get warmer.
Yeah, you hold that one. I'm going to trade with you and hold this one here so people get kind of a look at how this captures all that data. You've seen this before.
Yep.
This is pretty remarkable. To take this next step and say, this is the missing piece, so you understand, it's not always you. Sometimes it's other factors.
Yeah, 100%. And I think now with us, Bushnell Golf, Foresight Sports being together as one, we're able to do something no one else is able to do. And that is, our engineers, our product developers are all getting together, and we're innovating products together now and trying to create the most, you know, best products that we can to help you improve in the
game. That's very cool, because to be able to do something no one else has been able to do is to be able to give you information that you've never been able to have. Wish you the best with it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Bailey, what do you got?
Well, every golfer knows how important your grips are. They are the conduit between yourself and the club. And here today I have Marcus Krauss with Cadero Grips. He's going to introduce us to some grips that look good and feel good. So, Marcus, tell me what you have for us here today.
Yeah, we are here at the PGA Show the third time in a row to showcase those Cadero Grips. They are originated in Japan and are probably the most techiest grips you ever experienced.
What is the technology inside of them?
Actually, it's a multi-layer grip. It consists of three layers. We have a colored core that can be custom made as well for whatever design you want to have. And then it is printed on the front, the back, and as well the button. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, it's overmolded with a thermoplastic elastomer, which gives the ultra traction.
And so I see there's a design here on one of them. Can you do some custom designs if you want?
Absolutely. We've done already some custom designs for other golf brands out there. For example, for Echo Golf, we did some grips with them together. And yeah, whatever you want, we can do.
Right. And what do people say when they use Cadero grips for the first time? What do they notice that's maybe different than grips that they've used traditionally their whole careers?
I mean, what we have experienced with 95% of our customers is that they all say they have a much, much better club control, because you don't slip, the grip doesn't slip in your hands, so you really control the club path much better, you really control the club face much better, you get it square to the ball, and yeah, it's basically improving your game.
And how well known would you say these are? I mean, I know you're in Europe. They're coming to the States, more and more people are learning about them, obviously, thanks to things like this, but are they widespread known?
No, not yet, but we are working on it. I would still consider myself or ourselves as a kind of a startup. But yeah, in Japan, where they are originated from, they are already quite well known. And I'm trying to work on the brand awareness in Europe.
Absolutely. And then going forward, what are the goals? I mean, are these going to be in professionals' bags, college players, just the recreational golfer? Who are you marketing toward?
I mean, we would like to make happy golfers. Every golfer can improve their game with our grips. That's absolutely clear.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Marcus, and I can't wait to check them out.
Great.
Guys, back to you.
Marcus, where are you going? Marcus going to hit balls. That's what this day is all about, this week is all about. On the other side of the break, Dom Chu of CNBC joins with more on the importance of this week for the golf industry. Nice shot. Take another look at today's setup at Demo Day for the 2025 PGA Show. Always kicks off, as you know, at Demo Day. PGA professionals making their way the Orange County National. It's just a great spot, old home of PGA Tour Q School. They got some cottages there if you want to stay overnight. But this day, it's all about the equipment and new things. For more, let's say hello once again to Bailey Chamblee.
Well, there are difficult questions to answer in this world, like what is the meaning of life or what do you want for dinner? But thankfully, thanks to guys like Josh Kinchin and US Kids, we don't have to answer the question difficultly, how to get kids in golf. So Josh, thank you for being with us here today. Tell me about the mission of US Kids.
Yeah, so the mission of US Kids Golf is to teach kids the lifelong game of golf while encouraging family interactions that build lasting memories. So we're all about just growing the game, getting kids and parents involved in the game of golf.
Which is what we all want involved, right? More kids into the game.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
And you have in your hand here a fitting system tool. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the US Kids fitting system is very simple. It's a two-step process. Step one is to determine the player's height. So we use this, what we call the fit stick. So the player will just come up, and as they stand next to this, we'll be able to determine the player's height, and then that'll put them in one of our color-coded systems. And then step two is determine the player's ability. So if they've never played the game before, we'd start them in yard club, new set of clubs, ultralight, a little bit better player, tour series, and as they get advanced and elite, our EP tour line.
And so how often are they checking back in with you for this fitting system? Because obviously kids, right, they grow very quickly in and out of products and out of this stick system.
Yeah, for sure. So kids grow on average about 2 to 3 inches per year. So that's why we sell all of our equipment in 3-inch height increments. You can see we start here at 36, 39, 42, all the way up to 66, which will take you up to about a 5'9" player height.
Nice. And you mentioned some of the products. Did you want to look at this, what we have here?
Yeah. So this is our yard club. This is a product that we're extremely excited about. It's a great product to get kids started in the game. So it features a large, oversized aluminum head, extremely flexible, lightweight graphite shaft. It's got this training grip, so it puts the kids' hands in the proper position every time when they're starting the game of golf. And then it comes with these three foam balls and a tee. Gets the kid out there in the yard, whacking it around. Don't have to worry about breaking car doors or windows in the house. So great little product to get the game started. And then as the player progresses, we have ultralight sets and tour series sets and EP tour sets, like I mentioned, to help take the player along their golf pathway.
It's so great to have so many tools available for kids to get into golf. Tell me about some of the other initiatives that US Kids Golf has.
Yeah, so we're really excited. We have a US Kids Golf isn't just products. We also have tournaments and coaches. So step one, we get players a product, right? You got to have a golf club to go out and play golf. Step two, you get them a coach, so they go and get trained, learn how to play the game of golf. And then step three, we have tournaments where the kids can actually go out and play in tournaments and utilize those skills to play against their competitors and have fun.
And when you see kids get to the game of golf for the first time or they're very new to it, how excited are they? And what excitement and joy do you see on their faces?
Oh, yeah, super excited. That's why we love all working in this sport and doing what we do every day for a living, right? That kid hits that shot, or even us, we hit that shot, and it keeps us coming back for more. So
it does indeed. Well, thank you for everything that you do for kids and golf.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Guys, back to you.
Bailey, from U.S. Kids to the U.S. Ryder Cup team, we are counting down the days to September when the United States takes on Europe in the biennial competition. Let that song play. It's just so good. This year, of course, being played at Bethpage Black. But the Ryder Cup captain for the U.S., Keegan Bradley, off to a strong start in 2025, kicked off the year with a T15 at the Century, followed that up with a T6 at the Sony. He's back in action this week in San Diego and catching up with Kira K. Dixon.
All right, the Ryder Cup captain getting ready to get his day started here at Torrey Pines. You had a runner-up finish here back in 2023. What do you remember about that?
Well, I think I made the cut around on the number and had a really great weekend, really nice Sunday. But I truly love playing around this place, and one of my favorite tournaments of the year.
You've had a great start to the season so far. What's new? What's working?
I feel really nice. Got a lot going on off the golf course. So yeah. When I get inside the ropes, it's sort of like a pressure reliever, which is not always the case for me. So I always, lately, getting inside the ropes on Thursday has been a relief.
Yeah. Speaking of a lot going on off the golf course, what's a day in the life for the Ryder Cup captain?
Well, I come here, try to do my real job, and then as soon as I leave here, pretty much at every second, I'm working on, you know, little things for the Ryder Cup, thinking about ideas and talking to some of the guys. So it's a full-time gig.
Can we talk about the mustache? Is this a superstition thing? What's going on with it?
Yeah, I did it as a joke to my family in Maui, and they all loved it. So I kept it for them, and we'll see. As I keep playing okay, it'll stay. If I don't, it'll be gone.
All right. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
The U.S. Ryder Cup captain is 38 years of age, will be 39 in June. How is he going to juggle this as the year wears on? If he keeps playing great golf like he is, and he'll be asked about, are you going to play? Are you going to captain? I mean, this could get a little bit unwieldy as the year wears on.
And distracting. I think that's probably the bigger thing. If you're the Ryder Cup captain, or if you're one of his players or potential players, you're probably asking yourself, who's actually going to be in charge of this team? And I can look at this from two ways. One, Tiger Woods did it at the President's Cup not that long ago. That's a little bit different, though. I mean, we can all agree that the Ryder Cup is a completely different animal when you look at how they compare tournament to tournament. The other half of it is he also has a lot of people in his corner now. Our very own John Wood, he's the team manager now. Yeah. I think he's going to pick up a lot of the slack. I think if you look at the way Keegan is selecting his vice captains, he's being very careful in deciding to pick guys who may have to fill in that role. I think that the pressure is only going to build as we get closer to September, not just on being the captain and being in charge of that team, but potentially being a player. And I'm real curious to see how Keegan handles that.
Well, players are taught to be selfish. Yeah, who's the CEO? You're the boss. You're a number one. It's all about you and your game. But as the year continues to wear on, Keegan will continue as he's already done. How is, you know, Morikawa playing? Let me check in with Scotty's hand, Xander's hip, Wyndham Clark. How you doing? Sahith, you're going to make the team. I mean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like he has to get, you know, less selfish and more delegating, you know, power and decision-making. Pretty soon, it's not going to be about him and his own game. It's going to be about, you know, putting together and compiling a 12-man roster.
And I had this conversation from someone from the European side, and there was a player who voiced his interest in maybe being a captain and a player. Ooh. And the conversation was real quick, asking that player, how did you feel on Monday after Rome? And the player's response was, I was exhausted. And it dawned on him that doing both, I'm not going to say it's impossible. And certainly if you're someone like Keegan Bradley, who is clearly type A, he's focused, he's going to put in the work, make sure nothing goes unturned. But it's hard. And I don't see how they pull that off.
Play, captain, do press conferences. I think that's a big ask, especially in 2025.
And things move so fast in the Ryder Cup. You know it. Like once the first ball goes in the air, you have to start thinking about, what are my next parents? Yeah. Well, who's sitting next? It's going to be a complicated situation for them.
We'll see if Keegan continues to play great golf as he has so far in 2025. Well, Golf Today rolls on this Tuesday. When we return, we'll take you back out to PGA Show Demo Day, where we've got the latest and greatest products you need for your game.
We are back on Golf Today. 2025 PGA Tour Champions season kicked off last week in Hawaii with the Mitsubishi Electric Championship in Hualalai. Al shot a 6-under-66 in the final round to win the season opener for his seventh win on the senior circuit. Here you see Al's PGA Tour Champions career, 105 starts, 7 wins, just 1 major championship. He was also the 2024 GWA Senior Player of the Year. Els joined Zexio in 2018 to serve as a global ambassador With more on Zexia, we head back to Orange County National Golf Center for Demo Day. Matt Adams, take it away.
Well, if it's good enough for Ernie L, Zexio probably is perfect for your game. We'll get into the details of whether that is the case. Chuck Theory is here with me, VP at Zexio. You look nice and warm.
Yeah, I'm about as warm as you can be today. I got all the gear on today, Matt.
And the gear you have on has a nice Dunlop logo on the hat.
Yeah, thanks. That's probably a little confusing to some of your viewers because I'm here for Zexio, but our parent company, Dunlop Sports, out of Japan, actually owns four golf brands. We own Cleveland Golf, Srixon, Zexio, and Never Compromise.
And so, your expertise is this one, though.
Pretty Zexio. Much, yeah. I kind of oversee the sales.
We've been talking
effort.
About it for years because this is a unique brand. You guys went at it with a totally different philosophy, the gaining the club head speed, women golfers, and more. You want to tell the world who Zexio is 2025?
Yeah, thank you. Unique is the right word for sure. And you mentioned Ernie, the Big Easy, and we like to think that Zexio makes the game a lot easier to play, particularly for people like me that have lost a little club head speed over the years. We are 100% engineered and designed for women and seniors. So a real different stance than some of the other great companies out here.
No doubt. Let's get into some of the details about this product for you guys so you understand what Zexio has to offer. You want to take us through 2025? What's got you excited?
Yeah, I'd love to. Everything that your viewers would see right here, Matt, is brand spanking new. We'll be all debuting all of this at the PGA Show this week. The golf club you have in your hand is actually our new Zexio Prime. We like to refer to that as the Zexio of Zexio, because even though our entire brand is all about lightweight, easy to swing, that's our lightest and softest golf club. So for a player that is, let's say, under 85 miles an hour of club head speed, mm-hmm. this is going to help them get the ball airborne, hit it further, create a little more speed.
And there's different elements to it that I'm looking at here, Chuck, that I can see. The face has a very unique design. It looks like you're trying to work with a little arrow over here. The way you have the weight distributed low and back for that initial launch angle, can you take us through some of the technology?
I don't think they even need me. That's fantastic. You just nailed all of it. So we're at Zexio, we're 22 years now into lightweight. So what we're looking for are things that accompany lightweight, technologies that go with it and make it easier for this player to swing. So what you're feeling on the top of the crown there, right here, if you run your fingers across
yeah.
it, is something we call active wing. Our player tends to miss the ball more to right field than anything. An active wing actually works like the wing on a race car and helps square the golf club up at impact, causing more center hits, ultimately more distance. So that's active wing. Again, you put that together with lightweight technology and then counterbalance the golf club by
yeah,
putting a little bit of weight on the butt end of the golf club, and you actually make it easier to swing, easier to keep on playing, again, for our particular player.
Absolutely beautiful. The product is beautiful. You can see some of it displayed here. So if you are a player that's looking to gain back a little bit of club head speed to maintain that distance or even pick some up, Zexio is a perfect product for you to check out in 2025.
Well, Vice Golf has expanded to an all-around golf brand, making the game more accessible for golfers of all levels. And today I'm here joined by Ingo Dolman, the co-founder and CEO of Vice Golf. And it's a very exciting big year for Vice Golf. Tell me about some of the products that you're launching and you're most excited about.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks for having us. We are about to launch clubs big time for retail. We started last year just online, and it has been a major success for the company. So, I mean, we are known for golf balls, right? And last year we acquired Europe's biggest fitting company called HIO and HIO Labs, and they helped us develop a full range of clubs from putter to driver. It's all there. So putters and clubs and all of that made for the average golfer and to perform best.
And were you hearing from the people who knew about your club or your balls that they wanted more from Vice Golf?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, we've been in the industry for over a decade now and have over a million customers, happy customers, and they were always requesting more products. So it was kind of a natural step to go into clubs.
And a lot of the people who are watching this week are recreational golfers. Is that who you're tailoring these clubs to?
Absolutely. I mean, we want to make the average golfer better, right? It's just what we are, to make kind of golf more accessible for everybody, like high-performing products for a reasonable price.
So if you're a Vice fan, you can have Vice through the bag, which is very exciting. And then there's some new pricing, I understand, that you are releasing.
Yes, as I said, like we launched clubs last year. but not in retail, and it was a huge success. So now we are able to kind of lower prices up to 30%. So we are being more aggressive on pricing and keeping up the quality. So it's a win-win for everybody.
And you are mostly known for your golf balls, so let's talk a little bit about those. And specifically, you do these releases that are unique and fun around certain tournaments. And I believe you have a release out now?
Yes. Well, during the show, we are releasing two limited editions, a Greg Mike ball. It's an artist ball with a little monster on top of it. It's going to be fun. And a combination of our really famous shade and drip ball, which we call Galaxy. So it's going to be really, really nice artwork on the golf balls, too. And then more on the technical side, we are launching a product called Tracer Ball, which helps you kind of have straight putts. So yeah, a lot of things going on there.
I definitely need to check out that Tracer Ball. Don't we all want straighter putts? How do your golf balls stack up to maybe other like tour level golf balls?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's no difference. I mean, we win all the same things, Golf Digest, Hot List Badge, we just won it last year. There's practically no difference at all. Cast urethane performance for a really good price.
And if people don't know Vice, what's maybe like your elevator pitch to get them to check out Vice this year?
Top performance, half the price, now also in retail.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Guys, back to you.
Bailey, stay with us. We're celebrating a special birthday here on Golf Today. The Golden Bear turns 85. He joined Gary Williams this morning. Hear what he had to say after this very quick break. We're back on Golf Today. Let's flash back to the 1969 edition of this week's Tour Stop, the Farmers Insurance Open, won by Jack Nicklaus. Took the title at Torrey in the tournament, which back then was named after the singer and entertainer Andy Williams. Imagine how many trophies, the big room that Jack had to have to lug all those trophies home. This was just one of 73 career PGA Tour wins. Legendary career. Also included 18 majors, the most all time. Today is the Golden Bear's 85th birthday, and he joined our friend Gary Williams on Five Clubs this morning to chat about the current players, including the world number one.
You know, Scotty is really a good player. He's a nice guy. Seems to be very balanced. You know, he's married. He got family. He's he loves other stuff. He likes to be involved. I like Scotty a lot. I think he's had a great past, but he's going to have a great future still in front of him. And probably. There's a lot of really, really good young players that are coming along that are going to make his life more difficult, but also they're going to find a lot of young guys that are going to have success that we haven't even heard of yet.
You have a relationship with Rory. I think he's in a very interesting space historically. You completed the career Grand Slam when you were 26 years of age in 1966. You went from 4 to 5 majors when you won the Masters in 65, and then you repeated in 66. He's sitting on 4. It's now into that 11th year in the absence of winning 4, trying to get to 5. What are the challenges psychologically that he has that obviously you never had to deal with?
Well, that is what he has to deal with, exactly what you're talking about. Psychologically, he hasn't won for a while. When he gets himself in a position, you know, i.e. last year at Pinehurst. I mean, you know, he had a little short putt at 16 that he wouldn't miss one in a thousand times, but he did. And then missed another one at 18. But, you know, you get yourself where you haven't won for a while, and it's difficult to get out of that. The Masters, I mean, I still firmly believe Roy will win the Masters. He's just too good not to. You know, I love Roy McIlroy. I think he's a great person. He's a great guy. He's as talented a player as there is out there, and he's got a lot more majors in him. You just got to get him out of him, and you know, that's the problem. But you know, he's good, he's really good, but he just, you know, I don't know what's going to take, but it's going to one of these days he might, you know, he won those 4 pretty fast. All of a sudden he might break through, win a major. Then he's going to probably win 2 or 3 more pretty quickly. So we'll just see. you know, I'm rooting for him. As I say, I like him a lot.
Wow. Happy 85th birthday, Jack. You know, the late Dave Anderson, Pulitzer Prize winning columnist for the New York Times, said that Jack and Muhammad Ali, the two best quotes in all of sports. And you ask Jack anything, he's going to give you an answer. It's got to be nice for guys to lean on Jack. I wish more players would lean on Jack to try to get more inside that incredible winning mind.
And I think him just being in South Florida for a lot of those players has been huge. You heard him talking about that special relationship he has with Rory. It goes beyond just idle chit-chat. I mean, I think Rory really picks his brain. I think a lot of guys who play it down at the Bears Club spend a lot of time hanging around him. It's important. You and I have done this before. I will say the Wednesday during the Memorial Tournament is my most enjoyable Wednesday of the year because that's when we get the state of the Golden Bear.
Yes.
Where he just sits down and gives us everything, and you can ask him anything on the planet.
PGA Show Demo Day rolls on from Orange County National. Shiny clubs, latest in instruction. We'll take you out there, get your game ready for 2025. You look at PGA Show Weekend Demo Day. Listen, more people are playing golf and picking up clubs, as Matt Adams told us last year. It's getting younger. I would say the health of the game, I'm talking about the players. I'm talking about the 20 handicaps. I'm talking about the kids. Maybe Rex has never been better.
I think that's an important distinction to me. Because, look, as you and I sit and talk about all of the controversy at the top of the game, and we've been sort of mired in that for the last 3 years, essentially, and it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, I keep going back to the idea that you just pointed out. Golf continues to be popular. It continues to grow, just not in the United States, but around the globe. I love the stat that Matt gave earlier in the show. About 41% of junior golfers are now female, as opposed to 15% just a few years ago. That's exactly what the PGA of America and everyone who tries to grow the game has been angling for. You and I have seen a lot of Grow the Game initiatives over the course of our careers. I think this is the payoff for that.
I'm still kind of mediocre, but I still love the game, and I'm still very optimistic about my prospects for 2025. I hope you are as well. Some details about PGA Show Demo Day, in case you're like a first timer, not familiar with it, it's the 22nd annual largest outdoor golf demo day in the world. It takes place on that gorgeous range. It's huge. You got practice greens and short game areas. More than 70 companies showing and testing their products. Open only to golf industry professionals, so no sneaking on. Okay, a closer look at some of the manufacturers on site. Got the likes of Srixon, Cleveland. We just heard from Zexio a little bit earlier, Bridgestone and Foresight Sports, Titleist, Cobra Golf as well. Number four, well, that's Golf Channel. We head back out to Orange County National Golf Center. Send it out to Matt Adams and Bailey Chamblee.
Yeah, Damon, here we are. We've been out here all morning at Orange County National, and if you were watching golf today in the first hour, it was a little different than maybe in years past. Usually we go out to all of these booths and we can film there and show you a ton of more products and have the ability to really showcase everything out here. It's been a little rainy, windy, wet this morning, so first hour we weren't able necessarily to go out to all these booths. They've been coming to us, but it's cleared out. You've shed a layer, Matt, so clearly I think we're gonna move around a little bit.
What have you liked so far?
I've loved everything. I interviewed Vice Golf earlier, and we know them mostly as the colorful golf balls, but what they've done for 2025, they now have through the bag, drivers through putter, and they've lowered their price points, so they really want to get more people to be, you know, Vice golfers. So, it was really cool. And so you're out here. You've seen what the game is for the PGA professionals and for people like this. You cover the game every week on your show, Fairways of Life. What's the difference? What's the different vibe between the PGA Tour, the professional game, and a day like this?
There is a dichotomy in the game because you've got the game at, say, call it the recreational level or amateur level, depending on what phraseology you want to use to define it. But at that level, we have seen record numbers of rounds, 47 million last year. And what's interesting about that is that's divided between on course and off course now.
Yeah, which is
and
huge.
Last year was the first year where off course rounds were actually bigger than on course rounds. That could be simulator, it could be entertainment venues or what have you. And then of course at the professional level, at the highest elite competitive levels, they are still in the turmoil of the question mark being what's going to happen? What are they going to become? What will exist in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years in terms of the different entities in their current form? So it is really interesting because this show is about that first half. This show, Demo Day, and then once we go into the Orange County Convention Center over the next 3 days, is all about how it impacts you guys and the clubs that you will be playing. Although it is influenced by what the best in the world will be using.
Sure, we like certainly. To look, we like to pay attention
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, and it's important. They say for credibility in the marketplace, you need 5 to 7 tour players playing your product. Some have bigger stables and what have you. But it is exciting to see that the game at the recreational level continues to explode, continues to expand. That's what all of this is a celebration
You
of.
Were talking about the growth in females specifically earlier in hour
yeah.
one. And, you know, when I was in high school, I won't tell you the years, but when I was in high school, you know, none of my friends played golf and it wasn't cool. But now it's so nice as a female to see that that segment is growing exponentially. And it's beautiful to watch because it's such a wonderful game.
I see you on Instagram with all your friends and having all the tournaments
oh, yes.
and all the fun.
Yes, yes.
That segment of growth is critically important to the game of golf. I was mentioning to you guys earlier that female golfers make up the largest percentage of new golfers coming into the game. And my personal opinion is that we as a game, people who are already entrenched in the game of golf, need to do as much as we possibly can to make those new golfers feel welcome so we have higher retention rates so that we can keep
Absolutely.
These new golfers.
On course or off course
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, guys, back to you.
Thanks, guys. Back to you in just a little bit. Big week in Orlando, big week in San Diego as well. Torrey Pines makes its annual return. The PGA Tour as players navigate the North and South courses and the Farmers Insurance Open starts tomorrow. That's Wednesday right here on Golf Channel. And the PGA Tour announcing 2025 Player Advisory Council members. 16 guys. You see a handful of first-timers. Eric Cole, Trevor Cohn, Max McGreevy, and Gary Woodland. And Justin Thomas, now a veteran of the PGA Tour, a 15-time winner, a couple majors on the CV Rex. I understand that he released a memo, sent a letter to some guys kind of looking forward.
It was a letter to players, and it was based on the idea. He is actually on a subcommittee that had sort of addresses the idea of how players are tackling the product going forward. We've heard a lot about how the PGA Tour wants to improve the product. That means improving not only the access to players, but how the product is televised. And I think this went exactly to what JT was talking about. In this memo or this letter, he talks about doing in-round interviews. And you and I were talking earlier about it. It's something that the Golf Channel, CBS, is just trying new for this year. He even talked about doing pre-round interviews. As someone
that carries
a microphone.
Used to do it all the time. Used to do it, then those went away. Would love to see them come back.
And the idea of this letter is to try to get players to buy in the way he has. And I'm not giving away any secrets here, but last Sunday, JT sent our colleague, Johnson Wagner, a really long text. And it was kind of putting his money where his mouth is, pointing out, these are the things I'm looking forward to on Sunday. Here's my game plan. Like, there was one part of this text where he described he and his caddy were actually going to try to aim to rough on certain holes so he could have a better angle into holes. It's not earth-shattering secrets. He's not giving away state secrets, but this just gives an insight that I don't think fans have had an opportunity to have. And I have to give JT credit. Like, this is something he said that came to him watching docuseries and other sports, and how if you give fans a glimpse into what it's really like behind the scenes, if you pull back the curtain just enough, you're probably going to make a fan that you didn't have beforehand.
Yeah, he mentioned other sports where you get even the 10-second one question to the college football coach or the NFL coach coming out of the locker room before the game or before halftime. He talked about how on-field or on-course personality really rates with the fans. I mean, good on Justin Thomas. He got granular in that letter.
He really did. And again, I enjoy the fact that he put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah.
I also want to go back to, if you look at the members of the pack that were just announced, most years, you and I would not really be talking about this. It's something that kind of goes behind the scenes. It's inside politics on the PGA Tour. But you look at what happened on the PGA Tour as we transitioned from this year to next year with cutting the number of cards, reducing the field sizes. The pack was directly involved with that. That was a big move by the PGA Tour that's going to impact every single member. And I think the players that are on the pack now understand it more so in the past.
Right.
In the past, when I talked to a member of the pack, they would almost roll their eyes. Like, yes, I've had to sit through meetings before, but the names that really stand out to me, there's a couple of them. You pointed out the first-timers. Gary Woodland has never really been interested in tour politics. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have been. Like, if you want to be a world-class player, you should probably focus on being a world-class player. But these guys, Gary Woodland being the primary example, understand you need to be part of the process. The other name that stands out on that list is Mav McNealy.
Mm.
And we talked about this in the fall. The idea that Mav decided to do the math himself right. and to show the PGA Tour, this is what we should be doing with field sizes. This is what we should be doing with fully exempt cards. It shows the passion, and it also shows a different angle.
Yeah.
If you come at it from a different angle, a player's perspective means something to the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Matt McNeely, a Stanford guy, no doubt. He has no problem doing the math and showing it to his buddies at the PGA Tour. Another guy who seems to get it and spend some time with the media and is very accessible is Sahith Theegala. He's a California native, no doubt excited to be teeing it up this week at Torrey Pines. I first met Sahith, it was during a practice round at the Open at St. Andrews. I'd never met him before. It was during a practice round. I just walked up to him during his round and said, "Hey man, I'm Damon, like you, I'm a Laker fan. I'm from Los Angeles." You know, he was so excited to be competing in the Open Championship. And even now that he's a winner, nothing's really changed. He's played in the President's Cup, I know, but he's still kind of that wide-eyed, happy-go-lucky, you know, happy to be a member of the PGA Tour.
You always pull the Laker card, don't you?
Or the UCLA card, you know.
It's one of the two. Yes, you always have to pull that one out.
I do.
You're not even a front-running fan on that one. To go back to our conversation, the JT memo, talking about players trying to be more, trying to give the audience a little bit better glimpse of who they actually are. And, like, look, for some players, this is going to work, but you can't change your DNA. I will say for Sahith, he doesn't have to. I was watching that TGL match, fascinated by the idea of how much passion he had, how much fun he was having. He plays golf differently. He almost has a little Arnold Palmer to him.
Yeah, swashbuckling.
I mean, there's nothing conventional about his swing. He seems to go for broke on every single swing. He's exactly the type of player that I think fans would be drawn to for all the reasons you just pointed out.
Yeah, I think it's a good point you make. You know, listen, when there are new rules that are brought to a different sport, you know, a shot clock, you know, tennis has a serve clock, baseball has a clock, and maybe, you know, it's for the next generation, the players that are just coming up. You know, you institute pre-round interviews, you give a little more access, it becomes something they're used to. Might be harder for the 35, 40-year-old, 45, but for the 21-year-old who's just making his way on tour, I think they'd adapt very quickly.
And I think as someone who has tried to do these mid-round interviews with players, you have as well. And, like, there's certain situations when it's going to work and there's certain situations when it isn't going to work. It has to be a moving target. I'll point to Saturday. I did a walk and talk with Billy Horschel, who you and I both know. He's one of the best in the game when it comes to that. And he really gave some insight. We walked the 13th hole, that really hard par three, and we talked about how would you play it. He did not hit a particularly good tee shot. It's worth pointing out. But that's pulling back the curtain and giving the fan insight that they didn't have before. I think you're right. The next generation is probably going to embrace that much better.
Yeah. And listen, you know, coming off of a double or a triple bogey, there may be times where they don't want to talk. You know, I'll never forget trying to get Hal Sutton after a round of golf. I think he made double. And he said, "Listen, I'm a hot tamale right now." He didn't want to do it. And I said, "Okay, I'm a hot tamale right now." I love the phrase. I wish we'd gotten him, you know, on camera saying it, but you say he didn't want to talk, and that was okay.
And we had this debate last year at the U.S. Open when Rory decided not to speak with the media after the fact. And I certainly understand the emotions that went into that. It had to be heartbreaking for him. It took him a few days to process it. And his argument was he didn't have anything good to say in that moment. It wasn't until the next week at the Scottish Open when he actually opened up. And my point in that moment was, even if you had nothing to say, that emotion would have spoken volume.
Yeah.
As journalists, we still would have used that emotion to paint how difficult that moment was for him.
I was holding the microphone for NBC, hoping to talk.
You chased the car, didn't you?
I went out there.
We did.
I tell you what, he made burnt rubber out of that parking lot in North Carolina. Rory, obviously hoping for better in 2025. Sahith looking for his first major this season. And no doubt, I think we'll see him on some leaderboard before the year is out. Speaking of leaderboards, 11-time LPGA winner Lexi Thompson. You want to talk about fan-friendly? She's out at Cobra today, PGA Show Demo Day. Stepped away full-time golf at the end of the year. Great to see her back out, mixing it up with the people who love this game. We're back on Golf Today, PGA Show Demo Day underway at Orange County National Golf Center, Winter Garden, Florida. The day features product education, insights from equipment designers, coaching workshops, club fitting as well. For more, we send it out to Bailey Chambly.
In life, you are told to put your best foot forward, and Felix Lindner here is going to help us do that in golf with Ballon. So, Felix, thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about Ballon and the name. What does that mean?
Okay. So, Ballon is basically short for switch your balance on. So, what we're focusing on is finding your right balance to increase your club head speed at the end. Yeah. So what we have here is basically a super thin shoe and sole with pressure sensors. And it shows your pressure and your balance whilst you swing.
Yeah. And so you put these in your shoes underneath some insoles, top?
Right on top, underneath, whatever you like to. It basically adjusts according to that. And it shows live. You see it here, right here. You see your movement. Yeah. So heel to toe, left to right.
So and you're wearing these.
I'm wearing these. Movement. Yes, absolutely. So, and that is only one of the key features. Yeah. So you see your live heat map. So you are in the bunker, or you go on the green, or you're on the driving range. You have that live with you. Yeah. And you can train based on that. So that's something that's currently not available. You can only do the lab environment, and that you can take it anywhere. Yeah, we have friends, they do it up in Michigan in the snow. Yeah? So whatever you want.
Very nice. I live in Arizona, so I don't have to worry about the snow. Oh, okay. But so you take this information, and then what do you do with it?
Okay, so basically we have an algorithm in the background. It analyzes your swing and takes it apart. Yeah, and breaks it down in seven key swing matrices. And then we basically show you, compared to an idealistic swing, how you rate. Yeah, and then we show you your improvement areas, and then we help you and guide you to coach you to a better swing. That is one side, but even better is if you work together with your coach, he can use that data, and things that haven't been visible in the past are now visible to anyone, and you can really over time guide you to really essentially a better swing and more speed.
Because what you think you do and what you feel like you do is different than what the naked eye can see.
Exactly.
You can't always tell.
So far you've been standing on the range and your coach told you, hey, stand 50-50. You don't know what that means. Well, now we can show you. We can show you exactly. And now you can develop this feeling. Yeah, what is 50-50?
And you have some professionals who are using the technology as well. Can you briefly tell me about that?
Absolutely. So all the data is based on 30,000 swings with professional players. And we have multiple coaches that are using it. We have multiple colleges and academies that we're working with. And we just started off here in the US, and it's growing ever since. So,
well, I can see why. It's a fascinating product. Felix, thank you so much. I'll definitely have to check more of that out.
Please do.
Thank you.
Thank you, babe.
The drone high above demo day, gadgets, doohickeys, giving you an early peek at things to help your game in 2025. Much more from Central Florida after the break.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Back on Golf Today, the Century kicked off the year 2025. Hideki Matsuyama, his 11th win on the PGA Tour, that 3,500 record for a 72-hole event on the PGA Tour. He's been keeping track since 1983. Had said that, hey, he always wanted that Hawaii sweep. Wanted to be able to say that I won both the Century and the Sony. You can actually say that now after that emphatic victory on Maui, the plantation course at Kapalua, and now warming up, a beautiful sunny San Diego morning. And it's interesting, I was in Memphis, Rex, and watched him wobble a bit in the middle of that back nine, then he birdied 17 and 18 to get the job done. I think we underestimate, maybe not appreciate, the thickness of his chin and the toughness of this player.
No, I don't think you can underestimate that. And I will say, going back to the Aloha Slam, I think is the way it was coined. And I think players enjoy that. I think they covet that for the reasons that we've talked about in the past. Those are vastly different golf courses between what you play at the Century and then at the Sony Open. If you can win on those two golf courses, you can pretty much win anywhere because that requires a lot of different shots going around. But I love the conversation about Hideki Matsuyama, to your point. He has a jaw that can take a punch.
Yeah.
And I think what we saw in Memphis, and certainly what we saw at the Century, is indicative of what he can do. And on the other side of it, I will say he's probably the most inconsistent star player in the game right now. And by that, I mean you look at the way he has played in the major championships. You look at specifically the way he's played in the Presidents Cup. And I do not want to hang the International's troubles on his shoulders. But
that would be tough considering it's been one-sided before him and during him.
I would argue, however, on the other side of that, that the international team had to have a big week out of his stars. And there isn't a bigger star in that team than Hideki, and he didn't deliver, nor has he ever delivered in that event. And as I pointed out earlier, it is a different animal than what you end up at the Ryder Cup. But you put him in these big situations, and something seems to waver a little bit there. You look at what he did at the Century. It's his normal ball striking.
Yeah.
Sublime. Tee to green. When he's on, he is on. It was his putting that pushed him to the three-stroke victory. He picked up 10.5 shots on the field, strokes gained putting. If he can do that, even on a semi-regular basis, I can see him contending on a much more regular basis, even maybe going head-to-head with Scottie Scheffler. But there are parts of his game as a star that he does need to clean up on a more consistent basis.
Found that putter over the Christmas holiday, so he liked the way it looked, saw someone else putting, put it in his bag, and ends up winning for the 11th time in his PGA Tour career. He sees off at 1:40 p.m. Eastern time, first round tomorrow. Here's how you can watch coverage for the Farmers Insurance Open: Wednesday, 3 p.m. on Golf Channel, Thursday, 3 p.m. on Golf Channel, Friday, 3 p.m. on Golf Channel, 5 o'clock on CBS, Saturday, 2 p.m. on Golf Channel, 4 p.m. on CBS. We send it back out to Kira K. Dixon in San Diego on one of the contenders. Hey, Kira.
Hey, Damon. Well, we've been mentioning a bunch of the great stars that are in the field this week at Torrey Pines, and we, of course, have to talk about Will Zalatoris. He is in the field at one of his favorite events on the PGA Tour. He lost in a playoff to Luke List here back in 2022, but he is back in a place that he told me is one of his favorites.
Frustrated with T12. You know, I think after the last 8 months that I had where I was really trying to find my game, I think, you know, this year kind of what we've all talked about is fundamentals and simplicity. Last year it was a lot of searching, trying new things, and that's just kind of not how I play. I'm a very intuitive golfer. Even though I maybe look like I might be a mechanical player, I'm very feel-oriented. So it's nice to get back to that. And, you know, I made an emphasis this fall to, you know, obviously put on some weight, but also to play a lot of golf. I felt like I spent way too much time practicing and not enough playing. So it's nice to see, you know, saving pars from places maybe last year I wasn't, and, you know, not making as many silly mistakes as I did last year. So far, so good.
With everything you just mentioned, putting on weight, playing a lot, how's the body, how's the back?
Yeah, it feels great. You know, I put on about 15 pounds of muscle. It really, you know, my speed hasn't changed, but it's just the stability. You know, maybe this fall I might pick up a little bit of speed, but it really was just last year, you know, kind of going from, you know, having to get a cortisone shot just to go play a tournament. It's just not a fun way to live. And so, you know, this year was kind of, okay, how about instead of every quarter having to go in to go get a shot, let's try to actually, you know, kind of raise my ceiling. And so I feel really good. You know, I've played a couple times so far. This is a 3 week in a row stretch. I love the West Coast. I mean, it's just some of the best golf we have all year. So it's exciting. You know, I feel stronger than I ever have, and I feel pretty good.
Let's talk, Torrey. I know you love this place. You're in a playoff here once. Why does this golf course seem to speak to you?
It's just hard. You know, I think typically I've played pretty well in courses where, you know, we're kind of in the teens under par. And once we get up into the 20s, those are events that I haven't played my best at. But, you know, this place, it's tee to green is as tough as it gets. Rough is thick. It's obviously they've had major championships here, so it really fits my game. You have to be very patient around here, especially on the Poiana greens. You know, get late in the day, they can get bumpy. So, but it's fun. There's a lot of shots that, you know, I've seen Tiger from 08 do it, and obviously he's won here a million times. So, it's fun coming out here and reliving some memories.
And talk to me about the tight turnaround from Amex. You know, what's the timeline from finishing yesterday evening to then getting out here and getting ready to play 18?
Yeah, I mean, I got into my room about 8 o'clock last night, and then I'll go play 18 on the South today and then make tomorrow, you know, it's 9 holes in the Pro-Am, but keep it light. You know, the turnaround is kind of hard, but it's also, I won a Korn Ferry event when we had a quick turnaround like that. So I kind of enjoy it because you kind of don't really get out of that kind of playing state. You kind of just stay in it, and every shot you hit kind of matters. So coming here, no matter on short rest or whatever, it's just fun being here.
And Damon, as Will mentioned, he's in that group of players that's making the tight turnaround from Amex to be here at the Farmers Insurance Open. Of course, Amex ended on Sunday. They got right back into practice rounds on Monday at Torrey Pines. And for Will, you know, that is a big deal. He is still coming into his own post-back injury. He injured his back in 2022, ended up having to have a microdiscectomy in 2023, spent much of 2024 getting his feels back, getting the rhythm back, understanding his new swing, his new body. And now after that T12 finish at Amex, it seems like he is just going from strength to strength.
Nice to see Will Zalatoris healthy in 2025. Tremendous reporting from Kira K. Dixon on a player who mentioned, Rex, 15 pounds of muscle. I can put on 15 pounds. It'd be like 14 of fat and one of muscle. I mean, good on the young man for putting the time in the gym, taking pressure off his back, and hoping for a long and healthy career.
I'm with you. Putting on 15 pounds isn't the hard part. Putting on 15 pounds of muscle, that's going to be tough. And I will say, I have so much respect for him for what he just talked about in that interview. He could have kept going down the same road that he was on every 6 months getting a shot. As he pointed out, that's no way to play professional golf. He's really good. And we look forward to seeing him at his best when he is healthy. We have seen him win in Memphis, do the things he did early in his career when he was healthy. And you cannot compete against the game's best players if something is wrong. And we have seen that, unfortunately, over the last 2 years. I had a chance to talk with his coach, Josh Gregory, about the idea of how much he's put into just not being a better golfer, just being a better golfer when it comes to his shape. He knows that the only way this is sustainable is if he gets stronger, if he gets bigger, faster. It goes back to Rory McIlroy earlier in his career. Everyone forgets, like, why does he spend so much time in his gym? Because he had back problems early in his career. And he decided, this is the way I can prolong my career. And he's done that. And I think it sets a good example.
Yeah, his eyes light up during a major championship. Loves a tough setup, but nice to see him healthy to take on some of the tough courses in the world. As we go to break, a reminder, we got live golf on this Tuesday, third round coverage of the Bahamas Great Abaco Classic on the Corn Ferry Tour is coming up at the top of the hour. Back on Golf Today, take you back to February of 2022, the Ras Lahaina Classic on the DP World Tour. Big win for New Zealand's Ryan Fox, got the five-shot victory with a hot putter. And for more on the putter he used in the win, let's send it back out to the PGA Show Demo Day and Matt Adams.
Had the putter dialed in. I want to talk to you about dialing in his putter, maybe your putter. This is Peter Ranford. He is the CEO and the founder of Fine Tuned Components. Peter, good to see you.
Hi, Matty.
All of this is spread out in front of us. All of this is about fine tuning two critically important pieces of equipment. Let's start with the putter, then we'll talk about the wedge if we have time to. Can you tell us how and why?
Absolutely. So everything about this is about fitting without compromise. So being able to address every individual aspect from putter loft, hosel, head weight, shape, design, all those configurations, make them individual for that player.
Unbelievable. How many, dare I ask?
30,000 combinations in the kit.
No.
Both left-handed and right-handed.
Okay, so as we look down at these shafts, one of the things that I'm looking at, Peter, is I'm looking at all the different neck configurations in terms of how you're connecting the shaft to these respective heads, right-handed, left-handed, center bore, et cetera, et cetera. What are your options?
Yeah, so everything we'll go through, basically hosels that are designed to help players aim more left, create different axes of toe flow, more or less resistance, all the way to the other side of the spectrum as well.
All right, what about if you're a putter that does the forward press? How is that going to impact the loft on your respective putter?
So specifically, our products are all individually milled to match that player. So if your player has basically a more neutral position here, they're going to end up with a faceplate that has less loft than a player that's going to have more forward lean, a more central ball position.
It's incredible. What type of data are you generating when you're getting people ready to get to the point where you start the milling?
Yeah, we're a big data company, so being able to use tools like the Quintic Ball Roll to have a look at how the ball is reacting, how it's launching, how it's skidding, and how that relates to a player's consistency every single time.
Does it go without saying that there's nothing else in the world like this?
Only one like this.
That's incredible. All right, so let's say we take that same degree of technology and we bring it to a wedge. Obviously, this is milled. This looks to be like it's all forged. The face is also milled. Do you use the same level of nth degree of technology in measuring?
Yeah, so same thing here. What we're doing is we're being able to fit without compromise. So being able to work out what produces the most consistency for that player in terms of strike pattern, how that relates to sole profile, width, head weight, center of gravity position, all of that, all built into that guy.
It's absolutely amazing. This is the next generation. You've heard us talk about being fit, making sure you get fit. Your putter is obviously critical. More should be discussed about getting fit for wedges as well. Well, with fine-tuned components, you can make sure that your wedge and your putter is perfectly tuned just for you.
I'm joined now by Charlie Heh and Tim Kelland with Atomax, and some very exciting things going on with this company. That's why we have two of them to talk about it, because there's so much to talk about. Charlie, let me start with you. What is Atomax, and what are the products, the technology that you're developing?
Yeah, thanks for having us, Bailey. We're pretty much excited, first time being here. We are a new golf company trying to disrupt the golf industry, because we have amazing technology from San Francisco, Silicon Valley. So what we approach is a little different. So our amazing technology is amorphous metal alloy. It's a tough word, right? But easy way to say, similar to liquid metal, is it's a metal, but the atoms are moving around inside the metal. So it's a strong metal, but at the same time, very flexible, higher density, higher elasticity. It's a new material in the world, could be used in spaces in automobile, but why not in golf? So we have amorphous metal alloy wire inside of the shaft. So how does it work? So I said it's strong and flexible, right? It's strong, so it feels very stable, very straight, really less dispersion. But on the other side, since it's a metal, has a lot of elasticity, so it kicks and then it gives a lot of distance. So there, until now, we have to choose either like shaft, really strong and stable, and either something that really flexible but going far. This shaft actually has both of them. So this is Atom Shaft Blue. We have all the flexes and the weights, and we believe this tremendously going to help the most of golfers. But this is the particular design for the tour players.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. And then, Tim, you work with a lot of the players, or you're out there and you see on the sales side of things. So what are their impressions, and how do they react with these shafts?
No, thank you, Bailey. What we've been seeing, we're absolutely thrilled with. So when I came on with Charlie and the team, started testing prototypes myself, I could not believe the technology. It's extremely straight. He mentioned stable. That's what we're hearing a lot of from the players. What we're seeing is it's launching in that mid range, low spin. And not only just on exceptional hits is it numbers wise very, very good, but at the same time on miss hits, when you maybe peel one out to the right, everyone can relate to that. We're seeing that it's not spinning far offline. We're not seeing that it's those off the ballpark misses. It's actually just kind of tilting over there. So the players are extremely happy with it. And what we've found is it's one of those things that it's starting to spread. We're starting to get some really good exposure. We're talking to some great players, but I don't think it's all about the top players. I think that actually this can translate to people all the way down to the club level. You know, handicap. I think we can all relate to not hitting it straight all the time, and everybody wants distance. We think that that is a huge opportunity for us.
And so, like you said, it's your first time here. You know, what do you envision to take away from this week and this experience?
Absolutely. So we are really hoping, we're debuting it here. So we think that splashing large at the show, spreading the word, we've had a great experience with Demo Day so far. Everyone's been great. But we really do aim to be a tour level, college player level, top amateur level, all the way down to the club, you know, player. We aim to be a performance premium brand. That's what we aim. We'd love to see adoption on the tour and with top players, but we think this is for everyone. So we're totally excited. We're thrilled to be here. Thank you for having us. And we really want to spread the word and get it out to the players and, you know, see where we can go with it.
an LPGA level as well? I mean,
absolutely. That's actually definitely something that we're working on. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, Rex and Damon, you heard this. Check out AutoMax. Back to you.
Thanks, Bailey. We're back with you in just a bit. When Golf Today returns, we're joined by the top-ranked amateur in the world, Luke Clanton. He's teeing it up in this week's tour stop. He catches up with us next on Golf. Welcome back to Golf Today. Florida State University junior Luke Clanton, the top-ranked amateur in the World Golf Amateur Rankings, is among the sponsor exemptions for this week's Farmers Insurance Tour. Luke is a junior at Florida State, and he helped lead FSU to the 2024 NCAA Match Play Final with the Seminoles' loss to Auburn. He also won the 2024 McCormick Medal. He has four top 10 finishes and nine career tour starts, including runner-up finishes at last year's John Deere Classic and in the fall at the RSM Classic. Luke joins our very own Kira K. Dixon at Torrey Pines. Kira?
Well, Luke Clanton, the junior at FSU, is teeing it up this week for the very first time at the Farmers Insurance Open. I know you had a chance to play a bit of practice, so what are your impressions of Torrey Pines?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's to see the history out here and to be able to play out here and have the invite to play a PGA Tour event is really cool. And, you know, to kind of hit the putts that Tiger did and all those kind of things, it's been really amazing. I think to have the opportunity again to play here is really cool, and I'm excited to play. Mm-hmm.
We were talking before the interview about how your life is a little bit crazy these days, and that might be due to the fact that you're making quite a charge in the PGA Tour. You accelerated. You're at 17 points, looking for that coveted 20. You could do it here this week. How much is that on your mind?
Not much. You know, I try to stay grounded as much as I can. I think, you know, I get that question asked a lot lately, but it's been fun. I mean, it's been good. To have an opportunity to even get my card like this has been incredible, so... You know, I think just try to keep my head down and keep going.
You could lock that up, not necessarily with what happens out here, but with the Hogan Award this summer. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, I think just, you know, it's their decision. You know, I think I had a really good year my sophomore year as well and just couldn't get it. But, you know, this year I had a really good year as well. So, you know, if it goes my way, it goes my way. But, you know, I think my mom and dad and me and my sisters, we all kind of had it the hard way. So we kind of accepted the way it goes. And, you know, I think I'm just going to go out here and play the best golf I can.
Speaking of your sophomore year, you just had an incredible time out here on the PGA Tour. Now coming into this season, I know you missed your cut in your first start. But other than that, what are the lessons learned that you're bringing now, having had that experience?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, the Sony was definitely a different experience for me. The time difference, the travel was hard, but you know, I'm learning as we go. You know, I kind of count as my rookie year, hopefully. So it's kind of just been a lot of learning lessons, and you know, I've had a great time.
We appreciate the time.
No worries, thank you.
Well, last year the Frenchman Mathieu Pavon got it done at the Farmers on the 72nd hole, incredible birdie. Going to join us in a bit to reflect on an incredible year that was. Back on Golf Today, last year the Frenchman Mathieu Pavon won the Farmers Insurance. Just his third start as a tour member, by the way, birdieing that 72nd hole, win by a shot over Nicolai Højgaard, being the first player from France to win on tour in decades, and just now catching up with our own Kira K. Dixon.
Yeah, it's great. It's all about getting all those memories in my mind, really, when I was walking around playing the practice rounds. You can kind of remember all the shot you hit and all the emotions that went through your veins at that time. So it was just an awesome feeling.
What were some of the key shots you relived today?
Yeah, well, there were many. Like that putt on 16 was huge on the last round. Obviously, I played again the shot on 18 because I had to. I had a little bet with my caddy. So yeah, those type of shots that the one I kind of keep the most in my head.
What was the bet?
Oh, nothing big. It's just like drop the ball and say, I bet you can't put it on the green again. And I hit it and I did it again. So I won that bet. So now I think he trusts my rough game a little bit better.
Yeah, it wasn't a fluke. It was meant to be.
See if Pavon can go back to back. You can watch Farmers Insurance Open. Now remember, The first round is tomorrow, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. You got round two, 3 p.m. Eastern. Round three, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. And Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time right here on Golf Channel. Been a great day here on Golf Today. We've covered the start of the 2025 PGA Show and Demo Day in Orlando, Florida. For more, we send it back out to Matt Adams and Bailey Chamblee.
Thank you very much, Damon and Rex up there at NBC Sports headquarters and Golf Channel's home. Our home this week is here for the PGA Show. Today it's been, as you mentioned, Demo Day, which has been great. The weather has cleared up. It's gotten warmer. People are out there enjoying it. What did you see? What did you like?
Oh, my gosh. I had the best day, Matt. Early call of the week. I know it's only Demo Day, but this is going to gain some traction. So I interviewed Adam Max earlier, and let me get this correctly. Their shafts are made with amorphous metal alloy technology. So what does that mean? It means it's going to go really straight and really far. I think they're going to be the talk of the show. Early call, I know, but I really enjoyed them. And then Balon also is the technology you put in your like slip-ins in your shoes, and it is your balance, your weight transfer, and it tells you all sorts of metrics, and then it makes you improve real time, helps you improve your swing.
Very, very cool indeed. One of the things that I enjoyed about this, as I always do every year at the Demo Day, is that it's one thing to see all the products inside of the Orange County Convention Center, which is awesome, incidentally, but it's something else for these professionals to be able to hit the products. And the Cobra booth in particular, with their DS Adapt product line with the new drivers, was absolutely packed and still is and will continue to be throughout the course of the day, especially because the weather's getting better as the hours progress.
Which we love to see,
progress.
Right? Because, like, we deserve nice weather and for these people to be out here and hit and be out here on the range. So it's wonderful to see that the weather is clearing out.
And they get to see, just like the products you were talking about, they get to see the way the ball's actually reacting off the face, so that when you guys are in the golf shop and are interested in these new products, you're talking to someone that's actually hit them and knows something about how they're performing. So, yeah, Damon and Rex, it's been cool. It turned out literally cool in terms of figuratively and actual weather, but it's turned out to be a good day, and it's been a lot of fun.
Okay, Matt, outside of getting inside, out of the rain, out of the cold, what are you looking forward to the most when you get to the PGA Show?
There's nothing else. As you were talking about at the start of today's show, there's nothing else like being inside of the Orange County Convention Center. This year, it is the largest that it has been in almost a decade and a half. 1.1 million square feet of space devoted to everything in the world of golf. What I love about it is, obviously, I love the equipment side, and we're going to dive into that. Fairways of Life starts at 9 tomorrow, live from inside the Orange County Convention Center. We start doing hits with you guys from 10 a.m. tomorrow. But I also love everything else you see there, because it's not just about the hard goods. It's also about the apparel that I know you're going to be diving into quite a bit. And it's about everybody else that has a dream of what they think you need for your game. Maybe it's visiting, you know, one of your bucket list destinations or courses, or finding that perfect shirt or sweater that you want to wear out in the golf course to be looking good. How about you?
And we've got more celebrities other than just Matt Adams in the convention center tomorrow. More celebrities like Brooke Henderson. She's going to be at the Skechers booth, so I'm actually going to interview her.
Nice.
I think Matt Fitzpatrick might be stopping
by
as well.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Matt.
That'll be nice. Brad Faxon. So I'm really looking forward to
I think I've seen
some of the other players.
Smiley Kaufman on mine as well. So we've got a few more to see. We're looking forward to it.
Maybe an impromptu Smiley's happy hour will break out at the PGA Show. Great job today, and get warm. And tomorrow there'll be a lot of fun. Wednesday at the PGA Show, John Ashworth, as mentioned, Brad Faxon, Fitzpatrick, Henderson, Don Ray Jr., the PGA, Stephen Sweeney. Going to be just a fantastic day as they go inside, right?